Listen up. This bit's important.
Hey, I'm Lynn, and this is my podcast, Let Mummy Talk, a wellness podcast about everything that matters, from parenthood, lifestyle, love and relationships, as well as culture and health, both physical and mental. And above all else, it's about happiness. This is my happy place, and I hope it becomes yours too. Oh,
grrr. Let Mummy Talk, episode 23.
Hey, what it do? Welcome to episode 23 of the podcast, Let Mummy Talk, or LMT for short. If it's your first time here, hello, welcome, grab a drink and get comfortable. This podcast is all about wellness, parenthood, love, relationships, good stuff, and sometimes bad stuff. We've got to talk it through, right? But essentially, it is all about making you feel good and providing some much needed girl chat. Hope you're well, guys. Here in the UK, the weather is scorching right now. It is literally scorching. And I don't want to be a complainer, but at the same time, it's a bit much. It's a bit much, man. I can't lie to you. It's nice. It's really, really nice having the sun make an appearance for once in the UK, because it never does. But yeah, like sweating 24/7 is not the one. Do you know what I mean? Having a heat rash, having your thighs rub. Whew, girl, thick girl problems. I like to claim that I'm thick. I'm not even that thick. I just like to say thick because I think thick is sexy. But anyway, I digress. If you're coming back from listening to previous episodes, thank you so much for always sticking with me and welcome back. So what we saying now, there's so much to get through today, but what I'm going to do, I'm going to start off by letting you know a crucial update. Hear me though, crucial, ever so dramatic, aren't I? The update is that the pod will be going on hold after this episode, simply because here in the UK, it is the start of the summer holidays. My kiddies have officially finished school this week. And I'm just going to enjoy. I just want to enjoy my time with them. And to be quite honest, when they're around 24/7, which they will be, I don't have time for myself because I'm very child focused. So I do a lot of stuff with and for my children, which is beautiful, but also exhausting. I don't know when I get time to do it. And I don't want to do it half-hearted. I want to give it my all and be fresh and, you know, excited by it and motivated. So I figure giving it a few weeks break for the summer to have some fun, have some enjoyment, is the best way to do that. And I'll be back fresh, brand new ideas, brand new me in September. So as I said, if you have been one who's been listening to this podcast, whether from the beginning or you've just tuned in randomly to a random episode and have continued to listen each week since then, I really want to let you know how grateful and appreciative I am to you, for you, for everything. And I don't want to sound soppy, but seriously, like, I've got good friends who don't listen to my podcast. So yeah, if you're listening and you're coming back week after week, and you're rocking with me, I just appreciate you, man. I really, really do. So thank you. And I will be back, like I said. Anyway, before we get into all of that, let's get episode 23 done. So, as I said, I hope you guys are well. I hope you're enjoying the weather and don't have cause to complain like I am. Like I said, I love it. It's just a little too hot. I'm that kind of person, that annoying person who just moans either way. When it's too hot, I moan. When it's grey and miserable, I moan. You can't please me. But you know the difference, right? It's like, if you don't live in the UK, let me just describe it for you. Essentially, the heat we are experiencing right now is pretty much like you're going to Dubai or the United Arab Emirates and you step off the plane, or Jamaica, anywhere that's really, really hot, basically. You step off the plane, yeah, and you get outside the airport and the heat just hits you with a vroom. You know, that vroom kind of heat, it just hits you in the face. And then you get onto, you get into a cab or you get onto your tour bus, whatever it is, and the AC comes on and you're like, phew, I can breathe. And that's it, right? That is the key difference. When you are on holiday, they are so used to hot weather that you have AC, right? Especially if you're staying in the tourist area, in a hotel, whatever, whatever. You're going to have AC. Here, in this wonderful place we call the UK, we don't really have AC in buildings because we're not used to hot weather. So when it is hot, you can't escape it. It's hot in your house. It's hot outside. It's hot in the shops. It's hot everywhere. And your armpits just be dripping. In all seriousness, speaking of extreme weather, whether it's extreme hot or extreme cold, it's getting crazy. It's literally wild and it's scary. Like every time I see a news article or a news item about the weather or climate change, I literally look at my husband and I'm like, the end is coming, you know? The end is coming. It was written, like what's happening now it's not by coincidence. I mean, first of all, we have not looked after this planet. For generations and generations, this planet has been exploited beyond belief. We have taken the absolute mick, and now Mother Nature, she's done. Let me just run through some recent things that have been happening around the world to remind you. So recently, there were crazy floods. I don't know if it's still going on. There were crazy floods in Germany and parts of Belgium, causing, I don't know, I think it was in excess of 100 people to lose their lives and lose their homes. And it was nuts. Just out of nowhere, just crazy, crazy floods. And literally reporting in the news today, yesterday, the extreme weather in China. So there are floods happening in China as well, with the heaviest rain that they've seen in over 1,000 years. 20 centimeters of rain fell upon China. And I saw the video, I'm sure some of you listening also saw that video, of people on the underground, and I'd be so scared. The carriages were full with flood water, like full to your shoulders, basically. Mad. Absolutely mad. People have died. People are having to leave their homes and everything they've worked so hard to earn because of floods and extreme weather. It is nuts. Then you've got hurricanes in China. You've got heat waves in Russia and North America. And it's so crazy, this extreme weather, that in the United Arab Emirates, they are having to create rain. Yes, I said that. They are having to create rain, which I know sounds a little bit nuts, a bit cuckoo, but bear with me. I'll explain what it's about. Okay, so the United Arab Emirates is using drone technology to enhance its rainfall because of temperatures over 40 degrees Celsius. We had in London the other day, we had 31 degrees, which is the hottest day of the year by far, so far. And I can't lie to you, I found it unbearable. I literally find it unbearable. Everything was sticky, everything was close, everything was dripping. It was just ill. But even when you think about 31, how unbearable that is, and also how dangerous it can be, imagine now living in the UAE where you've got 40 degrees plus. So Abu Dhabi and Al Ain, I think that's how you say it, are among the first cities that have been drenched after the National Center of Meteorology implemented cloud seeding technology. I told you science and technology are mad. People are doing crazy things, but if it's needed, because people can die in 40 degree heat. So here's how it works. The drones fly into the clouds and release electric charges, which helps water droplets merge together and form precipitation. That's just a posh way of saying it makes it rain. I make it rain on UAE. Yes, make it rain because it's too hot. Okay, so before I go any further with like catching up on the news and the shenanigans, I'll let my kids get into some questions.
How are you feeling today, Mummy?
I'm feeling good today. I'm a very clammy, sweaty, greasy looking Lynn, but I'm feeling good. I am. I remember when I was younger, one of my good friends asked me the question, would you rather be boiling hot or shivering cold? And I was like, that's a mad question because they're both extremes. I'd rather just be cool in the middle. But you know, the more I think about it as I get more mature, I'm like, nah, for me, I'm sorry. I think most people would choose to be hot. I would choose to be cold. And I'll tell you why. When you're cold, you have the option of moving to create heat, right? You can rub your arms, create a bit of friction, a bit of heat. When you're hot, please tell me, what can you do to cool down? You can't do anything. It's just like, it's just you in the heat, chilling, you know, bonding. So yeah, I'd rather be cold. Anyway, apart from the heat attacking me and violating my thighs, I am really, really good. Like I said, I mentioned it on the last episode of Let Mummy Talk, but kids are finishing school and they have really, really outdone every single expectation. They've exceeded their school reports. Fantastic. Honestly, like, I am the most proud mum right now. Kudos to me and my husband, because boy, it's been a tough year. You know, then when school's been locked down a little bit, you know, a lot of homeschooling. It's just been a crazy year for all of us. So to come out the other side, school year finished, and to see the reports that are gleaming and showing the fruits of our hard labor. Because let's not lie, guys, anyone who did it will know homeschooling is wild, okay? Especially when you've got more than one child, especially if your child's got a special need or an additional need. My son has autism. Especially if you've got different age children as well, like you're trying to do two different syllabuses. It's mad. It is mad. So hats off to any of you. I'm gonna actually say, you know what? big up yourselves if you got through this year and your children have come out and they're happy, they're healthy, and on top of that, they're doing well at school. Because you know what? A lot of people sadly crumbled under that pressure. And it was a lot. It was a lot of pressure, but we made it through, right? And that's what they always say. There's always a light at the end of the tunnel. So we're here now.
What's in your glass, Mummy?
In my cup is a large pouring of ice cold water. I am that person. I have a glass and I put about 8 cubes of ice in my water, especially when it's hot, but even when it's cold, because I just love ice. So yeah, icy water for me, baby.
This is Callie. You're listening to my mummy's podcast. Let Mummy Talk. Isn't it great?
Okay, before we proceed with any more questions, I want to just get into a couple more news articles that I find interesting this week. Check it out. So first up, the little rat, the rodent that is Katie Hopkins, has been... I find this story so ironic and so hilarious. Katie Hopkins, for those who don't know, she's an awful, awful creation of a human being. I don't even know what else to say apart from she's vile. She's vile, she's racist, she's homophobic, she's Islamophobic. She's just the worst person. She's been deported. She speaks a lot about immigration and people like us, brown people coming to take, you know, jobs. She's just that typical right-wing racist biatch. Anyway, she moved to Australia and thought she could live her life out there. She's now been deported. The Australians don't want the rat. They don't want her over there.
We love to see it.
And why has she been deported? Because she thinks she's such a gangster, she doesn't have to abide by their COVID rules or testing, whatever it is, their regulations over there. And she had the barefaced cheek to not only, like, you know, willfully not abide by their rules, but also to share it on her social media. So yeah, they got wind of it and they were like, you know what, we want you out. Get out of our country, you're not welcome. So, you know, the very thing she spouts about, hating people that aren't from this country and kicking them out, so now the rat is back in the UK where she was born. Yes, come back home. We don't want her over here, but you know what, it's good that she got kicked out, because she wanted to live in Australia and it didn't work out for her. And I don't like to celebrate in people's misery, but I must celebrate right now because I really don't like her.
Only the good things.
Okay, another story which I found questionable. I didn't know this. So if you're a Love Island watcher, reality show Love Island on ITV2 every weeknight at 9 p.m. I am not promoting the show. I'm just simply letting you know when it comes on. There was a recent contestant in there who was in there for all of, what, 2 days, and he got dumped, thankfully, because I just didn't like him. His name was Danny. So if you watch it, you'll know who I'm talking about, Danny, right? Who lasted, like, you blink your eyes and he was gone. Now, there's, how can I say it? People who are of West Indian descent, and maybe other cultures too, but I'm going to talk about the culture I most relate to and understand. There's something we discuss, which is when your spirit doesn't tech. Your spirit don't tech to someone, right? And it's a way of basically saying their vibe is not for you. Something about, you can't quite describe it, it's just something, a vibe they give off, their spirit, their soul, there's some energy around them which is not for you. It's negative, it's bad vibes. And although it's for a TV screen, of course, not in person, when Danny came on Love Island, my spirit did not take to him. I didn't like him. He gave me off-key vibes. He seemed possessive. He seemed a little bit too, what's the word? Like, not forceful, but yeah, like he's forcing situations, trying to force people to like him. And on top of that, if I'm going to be honest with you guys, he gave me racist vibes. He did. He really, really did. I don't know, but, and it's very ignorant to say it, and I can fully appreciate that. But, any black person will openly tell you, sometimes you just get a vibe from somebody. A vibe of, you look like you could be the kind to say something racist or borderline racist. And I'm proven right. My spirit didn't take to him and I've been proven right. And I'll tell you why. I read an article today that basically said Ofcom, the regulators for British TV, they received something like 1,500, in excess of 1,500 complaints about Love Island casting him to be on the show as a contestant, because in 2019 he had a post on his Instagram, which has obviously been deleted since then, in which he used the N-word. I beg your pardon? Now, I'm not being funny. I'm black. With all the blackness within me, I have never, and I would never use the N-word. It's a word I absolutely despise. If other black people choose to use it, that's their business, okay? But if I, as a black person, don't think it's okay to use that word, how does someone who's not even black think it's okay to use that word? I don't get it. Whether you're doing it in a song lyric or whether you're saying it in a derogatory way, don't use the word. Like, we've been here a million times. Like, why are we still doing it? Why are we still having these conversations? It's really, really frustrating. Now, I don't know the context in which the N-word was used, and I don't really care for the context, because the bottom line is that it was used, right? That's the part that's just like a big no. And then he issues some fake apology. Like, I say fake because it just seems, you can, sometimes apologies seem disingenuous, and his to me came across as really disingenuous, because he did that typical thing, which I find really, really flaky, of saying, "I apologize for those who were offended." For me, that's not an apology. I feel it's more genuine to say, "I am sorry for using the N-word," and then go on to explain why you're sorry about it. Just apologize. Don't need to say "for those who offended." We were all offended, okay? We were all offended, because you shouldn't be using that word. And breathe.
Next.
Okay, something I want to warn you of, actually. This is for all of those who have nice new keyless cars. Those with those electric fob things, you know, just basically the nice new shiny cars. Those cars, you should know by now, are very easy to steal. My friend had she bought a brand new Range Rover. A brand new Range. And it was stolen off her driveway within a week. Gone. The keys weren't stolen. Her house wasn't broken into. Thing with these kind of cars is that they operate with a key that has some kind of code on it. So it's not the old school key that you stick in the ignition as such, but they're coded keys. And anything technologically advanced is fantastic in those ways. At the same time, it leaves us more open to fraud, theft, criminal activity, because there's clever people on both sides. One's creating the technology and others who are breaking into the technology. So there's been a recent rise in the number of keyless car thefts. And I just watched a video today which showed some thieves. They broke into a car in less than a minute. So basically, they're using some fancy devices, using relay technology to receive the signal from the key, which is inside the owner's house, and transfer it to a portable device, which allows them to unlock and then drive away in your fancy, shiny new car. It's actually wild. Like, this is not new. Like, my mum, has a lovely, nice car. And from day dot, she kept putting this, like, steering lock, this really heavy steering lock on her steering wheel. And I was like, "What are you doing that for, mum? You don't need that. You've got a nice posh car. Like, why are you putting a steering lock on?" That's, like, from 1992. No one does that. She's like, "Everyone does that. If you've got these kind of cars, you have to do it because they're very easy to steal." And I didn't know anything about it until that day. And then I started noticing more and more of these nice cars have got them on. So, yeah, if you have one of these nice cars and you're not aware of the issue, do some research, please. I beg you. I would hate for you to face the same fate that my friend has faced, losing her brand new Range Rover. And a lot of insurance companies struggle with paying out for this kind of thing because it's becoming so common. Between May and June of this year alone, 2021, vehicle crime increased by 3.1%. 3.1%! And the majority of that is down to keyless theft. So whilst the modern advancements in technology are sick and they're improving our experiences with cars and other things, it also just allows criminals to exploit weak points in it. So the police now are working with the car manufacturers to try and close any loopholes to kind of prevent this crime from happening in the future.
Listen up.
So if you have one of these lovely fancy cars, I'm going to give you some basic tips, okay? One, lock your car. I'd like to think if you're listening to this podcast, you're pretty switched on and you know that locking your car is kind of standard. But at the same time, a lot of people don't lock their cars. And I'll tell you something as well. It might be where you live. Like, I live in London now, so a lot of people here are a bit more aware. You know, crime's higher. People are a little bit more cutthroat. But when I go back home to where I'm from, which is more in the countryside, people leave their front doors open.
Say what?
It's a normal thing for people to not lock their front doors or lock their back doors. So as much as it might sound like, duh, obviously I lock my car door, for a lot of people, it's not actually that standard. So just be aware. If you don't lock your car door, lock it. And also, don't keep your car key near your front door. So a lot of people have like key holders by their front door, like by the coat stand or whatever. Don't put it there. And if you do put it there, make sure it's locked into some kind of like a metal tin or some kind of protective pouch that blocks the device's signals that they're trying to use to get your key code. All right. Make sure you pass that information on because it's super important. We work too hard to be letting criminals steal our stuff, right? Amen. Say it with me now.
What are you watching on Grown Up TV, Mummy?
What have I been watching? So, not much in the last 2 weeks. I've been really busy. I've been doing a lot of swimming, a lot of activities. I've had a few birthday parties to go to. That makes me sound really popular, but I'm going to be honest with you. The birthday parties are for my children. You get to a point when you realise your kids have got way better social lives than you. So you end up going to more of their things than you do your own, but that's all good. We move. This is how it goes when you're older and you've got kids that are of a certain age. But what I will say is I did watch more of a series I told you about before, and it's the series Atypical, and it's about a young man with a young man. It's a young boy because he's not even 18, so he's a boy. It's a young boy with autism, and it just follows his journey, like, and his family life, and I think it's brilliant. It actually is brilliant. The latest season came out this month, which was July. Oh my gosh, we're almost in August. That is nuts. That is actually mad. Yeah, so the latest season of Atypical came out in July, and yeah, I'm about to start it because I've literally whizzed through seasons 1 to 3, and it's fantastic. I think it portrays certain elements so well. It tells the tale of autism and how it impacts on not just the autistic person, but the wider family as well, and their life. And yeah, man, it's great. So I've been watching more of that, and there was a scene in it, a particular scene that I was crying like a baby. Once again, you know, you guys know. If you've listened before, you know I'm quite an emotional person and I cry easily. The particular scene was the boy was about to graduate from high school. And you know, when they have the yearbooks, they have a picture of them and their little, you know, their little statement. And then people sign and write nice messages and whatever about that person. Well, the autistic character, whose name is Sam, gives his book to some other students to sign and just says, hey, would you mind signing my yearbook? Blah, blah, blah. And when he gets it back, they've written the most disgusting things in his book. And I was watching it and my mouth flew open. Not because I was shocked as such, because I know people are very, very cruel in this world, but more because, I don't know, it just got me. I think anything like that, as I've said before, I always think deeply about it because I just wonder how autism will affect my son in his life, you know, both good and bad ways, how it will enable him to do certain things and possibly disable him from doing other things. So I'm always wondering, I'm always overthinking. So when I saw that bit, it just got me, and then the tears started rolling, you know, and you open the book to see what comments people had written about him, and they'd written things like spaz, they'd written weirdo, freak, no friends, or weirdo, freak, all these awful, disgusting comments. And then the boy has like a bit of a meltdown, like he's so upset, he has a meltdown and he loses his temper because he just wants to be accepted, you know. So yeah, that bit got me. And the interesting thing is, today I was on one of my autism groups on Facebook, and a mum in this group, it's just ironic that it happens to be the same week, a mum in this group shared a picture of her son's shirt. And over in the UK, we don't really do the yearbook thing. What we do is we sign shirts. I remember it from school. I've still got mine because I absolutely loved it. But anyway, a mum shared a picture of her son's shirt, which was signed by all of his friends and other children in his class. And, you know, people drew willies on there. I mean, that's pretty typical. That's not offensive. That is just how people are at school, just immature. And they think drawing willies is really, really funny. But then someone else put, you have no friends. That's the comment they put on her autistic child's shirt. Oh, goodness me. I mean, it's just sad. It's just really, really sad. So I saw that on Facebook and it just reminded me of the episode of Atypical that I watched earlier this week. And I was just like, you know what? I hope I never have to beat anyone up, because I will. I say it now with my full chest. I hope I never have to beat anyone up, because I can't stand mean bullies and horrible people. I never have been able to stand them. And yeah, it just won't run for me. I'll come for you, mate.
Big boy move. What are you loving, Mummy?
What am I loving? There's so much to love right now. Honestly, there is. I'm loving the fact the sun is shining despite the heat rash. I'm loving the fact that my son, who is just finishing year one, his folder of work from year one has been kept back by the school. So at first I was like, raised eyebrow. Why are they keeping my son's work? And it was, you know, his folder. He was really excited to show me the work he's done and talk me through it. And I got a letter in his bag yesterday telling me they want to keep it as an example of an exemplary learner. I was like, toot, toot, beep, beep. Gun fingers in the air. Like, what? I'm sorry, what? My son, my little boy, who sometimes doesn't even listen to me when I'm talking. But that's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So absolutely brilliant. So yes, I'm loving the fact my son has made me super proud and worked really hard at school to not only overachieve and become top of his class despite any difficulties, but on top of that, he's also an exemplary learner. They want to keep his folder behind to show it to next year's year one pupils of an example of the standards they expect. Hey, come on! Winning!
We love to see it.
Right, now on to today's topic. So, I'm hoping that you have some really exciting plans ready for the summer holidays. But it kind of hit me today that not everybody does. Like one of my friends, one of my daughter's friends from school, her mummy and I have become good friends. And she was saying to me today, like, I don't know what I'm going to do with the kids over the summer holidays. And I was just like, what about this? What about that? She said, oh, send me the link. Now, myself and my sister, we roll deep. We're very, very close. And we both have children of the same age and they're very close. We do a lot. We plan a lot. We, you know, basically what I'm trying to say is the 6 weeks is pretty much booked up. Like every day, if not every other day, there is an activity. There is something we are doing with the kids. It is going to be exhausting, but it's going to be one of the best summers ever. We're not getting on a plane to go to Cancun or to go to Jamaica or some other exotic, beautiful location. We're stuck here in England. But we're going to make sure we have the most epic summer we can do. So yeah, so for that reason, today's episode, I want to help you out in case you too may be stuck with ideas for what to do with the kids this summer in the UK or in London specifically. I got you, girl. I got you. I got you, boy, as well. Maybe you're a man listening to this. So whoever you are, I've got you. And if you're not a parent, maybe you've got godchildren. Maybe you've got nephews, nieces. These ideas can extend to them, right? Okie dokie, let's get into it.
Listen up, this bit's important. Number one.
Okay, so first off, I'm going to start off with culture. Yeah, man, a little bit of culture. So there are a number of amazing theatre productions taking place in and around the UK. I am going to specifically focus on London because that's where I'm at and that's where I've researched. So if, like me, you have young children, these plays may well be of interest to them. Others are included, of course. Okay, so there is The Tiger Who Came to Tea. That's on to the 5th of September in London. There's Zog. There's The Gruffalo. Everybody loves The Gruffalo, right? There's What the Lady Bird Heard and other amazing titles. Many of those are by Julia Donaldson because she's such an incredible author. I think we have pretty much like 90% of her books in our library in our house. My kids love her. So yeah, if you want to go theatre, a few of those may be sold out, but it's definitely worth checking online to see if you can still get tickets because I think theatre is always a great thing to do for the children. It teaches them about culture. You know, you get a bit of peace and quiet whilst they're literally fully immersed and engaged in watching the stage, which is fantastic. And it's just a nice way to bond with your children, taking them to see something on stage. So yeah, check them out.
Number two.
If, like me, your children are obsessed with P-A-D-D-I-N-G-T-O-N, Paddington Bear. I know the song because my kids watch it every single morning. Yeah, they love Paddington and his marmalade sandwiches. And I actually saw recently that he's at the British Library. When I say he's at the British Library, what I mean by that is there's an exhibition all about Paddington Bear at the British Library. And it started on the 9th of July and it's going through to the 31st of October. Averagely, the exhibition will take you about 45 minutes to an hour to get through. We are booking tickets to go sometime in August. And yeah, I think it's going to be a really nice way. And I think it's going to be a really nice day out for the whole family. So that's Paddington Bear at the British Library. Another exhibition for you is the Alice in Wonderland exhibition, which is called Alice Curiouser and Curiouser. And no, curiouser is obviously not a word, but it is a cool name for an exhibition, don't you think? So that's on now, up until the 31st of December. Under 12s go free and tickets for adults are just £20. So I say just, I mean, that's pretty pricey. But considering the kids are free, it could be still worth a visit. And I've read reviews on it, and the reviews are really pretty good, to be fair. So I think I may well book that in as well.
Number three.
If your kids are a bit more adventure and a bit less sitting still and looking at a stage, maybe you could try out some of the UK's leading theme parks. I've been to a lot of theme parks recently. I did the Sun Savers coupon thing, which is where you buy the Sun newspaper every day. There are ways around it, trust me. But you are meant to buy the newspaper every day and collect a coupon. Once you've got 9 coupons, it allows you to get 2 free tickets to go to some of the leading UK attractions, which is fantastic because you save yourself a lot of money. So all of these theme parks I'm about to mention, I've been to myself in the last year, and they're all bloody brilliant, to be fair. So of course, there's Peppa Pig World, which is at Paulton's Park, and that was so fun. Honestly, that was one of my favourite theme parks. Admittedly, I am a big kid, but I'm not being funny. If you don't enjoy Peppa Pig World, whew, you must be pretty boring. There's a Legoland Windsor, which again is brilliant and has lots to do for the children. That's one that I feel you'd need to visit more than once, because to try and get everything done in one day is quite a challenge, to be fair. And we gave it a good try, but nah, we needed at least 2 days to get it all done. But you could, of course, go and stay on site at one of their hotels or a nearby hotel and do a 2-day park ticket. That way you get to see and do more. Chessington World of Adventures, that was great. Okay, we did that one, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks ago. Absolutely loved it. Brilliant. So much fun. And there they also have an animal safari with giraffes and hippos. Was it hippos? Yeah, with giraffes and hippos. And that was really, really quite extraordinary. I loved it. And then, of course, you've got ones like Thorpe Park, which I'm going to in, I think, 2 weeks. Haven't been there yet. My sister went this week and she said it was really, really fun. A lot smaller. The queue time was a lot less. And they've got a little beach there as well. So, yeah, theme parks are always a good suggestion, in my opinion, unless you have children who just don't like rides. In that case, it may well be better to skip the theme parks until they're older. But, yeah, if your children like a thrill, if your children like days out and having lots of fun like that, then those theme parks will most certainly provide hours of fun for you and your children.
Number four.
Okay, now on to beaches. I mean, the weather is so, so good. It would be almost criminal not to visit a beach and let your children enjoy a little bit of sand action. So, of course, we have our beaches near the coast, whether you're going to Kent, going up Essex sides, or going down to Sussex sides. But if you don't fancy going to the coast to check out a beach, which can be a little bit far for people who live maybe in the city centre or people coming out of London potentially, there are a few man-made beaches that are worth checking out in the city of London, one of which I went to with my family and it was so much fun. That was the Brent Cross Beach over in North London, and it was just a really amazing day out. So they've got, like I said, man-made sand, a man-made beach with obviously their sand. They've got a splash pool. They've got lots of rides and entertainment. They've got snacks. They've got donuts. They've got, do you know what I mean? They've got it all. So the Brent Cross Beach is actually running until the 5th of September with £4 per person entry, which isn't bad. It's actually quite decent. However, it's worth noting when you get in, you do have to pay for the rides. You buy tokens and you pay for each ride. And the rides are quite pricey. I'm not even going to lie to you. They are pretty pricey. In addition to Brent Cross Beach, the next one I'll be checking out is the Beach Blue Water. And that is £3 entry per person, slightly cheaper than Brent Cross. And it's from the 17th of July. So this one just opened and it runs until the 5th of September as well. So very, very similar to Brent Cross, £1 cheaper, same kind of attractions, rides, attractions, splash pool, just really fun things to do for the kids. And I think, don't quote me, but I think there may be free parking at Blue Water. There may be. What I will say, a couple of tips. If you do decide to visit one of these man-made beaches, which I think you really should, take a packed lunch, because the food they have there is not the best. I mean, you know, you get your kind of, the food they have there is not always the best. And sometimes they even run out of food. So definitely take your packed lunch, make some sandwiches, I don't know, fry some chicken, do whatever you want to do. You know, bring some snacks and stuff, bring the kids buckets and spades, change of clothes because it gets a little messy. Of course, towels and all the rest of it.
Number five.
And another recommendation, which is a lot more adventure, would be Hobbledown Adventure Park. Now, this is a place I took my daughter to for her 4th birthday, which happened in June this year. And it was excellent, honestly. There was so much to do. It's based in Epsom, Surrey, which is basically South London. and it's an adventure farm park and zoo. And again, it was one of those things where it felt like there was so much to do that you have to go twice, and I'm going to go back. Like my friend and I were saying this, we have to go back because on the day there's just so much to do. The kids don't want to leave anything. They're playing on the, you know, adventure stuff. They don't want to stop. They're looking at the animals. They want to spend ages. And then before you know it, you sit down for lunch and then it's time to go home. So yeah, you need to book it for 2 days, but Hobbledine is brilliant. And similar to Hobbledine is Knockhatch Adventure Park, which is based in Hailsham. God knows where that is. I don't know. I went there recently for my niece's birthday and I just drove. You know when you just put the address in your sat nav but you don't really know where you're going? I know it was very, very, very countryside-ish and it took us just shy of 2 hours to get there. So that one is, yeah, that's a little bit further afield if you're based in London, but it's definitely worth a visit. So both Hobbledown and Knockhatch are very similar and they both have over 2,000 4.5-star reviews on Google. That says a lot. Like that just shows you how brilliant they are. So yeah, they've got the jumping pillows, they've got animal experiences, they've got indoor play, outdoor play, adventure stuff, like obviously food, snacks, all that stuff, theater type things. There's just a lot going on and it's a day where your kids will come back, they'll be tired and worn out from all the fun they've had and they will sleep like babies. So just to run you through some of those again, a quick recap for anyone who may have been sleeping or maybe tune me out a little bit and now I'm back. Here we go. So some things to potentially do over the summer with your children. Number one was the theatre. There are a number of amazing productions. Many of Julia Donaldson's books will be performed at the theatre for children to go and watch. So do go online, look out for Zog, look out for the Gruffalo, look out for the Tiger Who Came to Tea, What the Ladybird Heard, and try and grab some tickets to that. But before you pay for anything, always do your checks to see if you can get a promo code to get some money off. There are always ways to get things for a little bit cheaper. So definitely have a look around for like discounts and promos. Then we spoke about the Paddington Bear exhibition at the British Library and the Alice in Wonderland exhibition called Curiouser and Curiouser at, I think it's at the V&A. Am I right in saying this? Yeah, I'm quite sure it's at the Victoria and Albert Museum in London. Then there's all of the theme parks. And then I spoke about beaches, man-made beaches. If you're not going to head out to Sussex, Essex or Kent and go to one of London's surrounding beaches, you can take yourself to a man-made beach because I'll be honest with you, the kids won't care. As long as there's sand and they can build a sandcastle, they will be having the time of their lives. So you can try Brent Cross Beach or you can even try the Blue Water Beach, which has opened up as of last week, both of which will close in September. So get booking your tickets. And last but by no means least, I recommended you should try Adventure Parks, Hobbledown and Knockhatch, both of which are incredible places for the children and for the family as a whole. I hope that was helpful. I really hope that was. I mean, I'm hoping you guys had pens out or if you're like me, you were taking notes on your phone. Like, because I gave you some gems there, guys. Come on, come on. Something as well that I pride myself on is my organisation. A lot of the time I'm really organised, so, and I get compliments on it. So I want to give you a few tips on things that may make your day trips a little bit easier over the summer holidays, or just things that you may not have thought of because what is obvious to one person isn't always obvious to the next. So here we go. Number one, get a portable potty. Like, honestly, some of these places that I've been to, whether it's theme parks, adventure parks or whatever, the toilets are fine. You know, they are fine. You know, we just line the toilet with tissue, plonk the kids on there and it's all good. Other ones are horrendous and you don't even want to touch anything. You don't want to go near those toilets. So not all toilets are created equally. So for that reason, it may just be easier to get yourself a portable potty. You can get the little ones that are like unisex where they just prop it under themselves and they wee into it. It's like a cup and you empty it. And you can also get potties that fold flat so they're easy to transport around, which is what I actually have. A tip which I think is pretty obvious, but again, I've seen people not do it. So I'm gonna say it, which is to freeze, especially in this weather. Freeze your yogurts, like honestly. And when I say yogurts, I mean if you get like the little tube yogurts, that's like the Froubs or any other brands are available, of course. But yeah, freeze them. I'll tell you why, because they stay cold for longer, they keep their lunchbox nice and cool, and the colder they are, the cooler they will keep the kids in this extreme heat. Also, freeze any bottles of water. It will keep their lunchboxes cool and keep it nice and refreshing. I do it every single time, and the way I yearn for a nice cold water on a day trip. Oh! It's crazy. This one's a little bit weird, but bear with me. If you can, take a pushchair. And the reason I say that, like, none of my children need a pushchair. My daughter, who's 4, she does like to sometimes sit in one when she gets tired, but she doesn't need one. She's absolutely fine walking around. However, there are times when the pushchair comes in really handy, because you can then dump all your stuff on the pushchair. The kids' bags, the lunch bags, umbrellas if you need them, whatever it is you're taking, just load it up onto the pushchair so no one has to carry it around. A pushchair is not always an inconvenience. Sometimes it actually is the key. And of course, don't forget to bring plenty of sun cream, plenty of frozen water, cooling spray, and 2 or 3 changes of clothing. Now, I hope my tips were helpful. I really do. I am absolutely baking. I'm literally here in my home studio, like, sweating because I have the fan on 24/7. But obviously, when I'm recording, I can't have it on because it's too noisy. So I'm just here, just busting a sweat. It's pretty gross. But anyway, I'll do whatever for you guys because I love ya. I love ya. So if you've made it to the end, you were jeet. Thank you. And I just want to say, I will be back. This is not goodbye forever, but this is just, I'll see you after the kids' summer holiday break. You know, that's all it is. Have a fantastic summer holiday. Make it one to remember. Look after yourselves. Remember, COVID is still very much out there. Try not to catch it. Do the best you can to look after yourselves and each other. And I sound really cheesy, so I'll stop now. But yeah, thanks for listening. Don't forget, you can like, share, and subscribe to the podcast on your podcast apps, especially Apple Podcasts. You can leave me a lovely review. If you enjoyed it, I'm happy. If you didn't enjoy it, keep it to yourself. Nobody needs that negative energy in the atmosphere. And on that note, I'm going to love and leave you. Take care. And remember, whenever your kids next try and interrupt you when you're talking, just look at them and say, hey, let mummy talk.
If you made it this far, you're G. We hope you enjoyed it. If you didn't, keep it to yourself.
Remember, life is short. Enjoy it. Hope you have a lovely day.